What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome back to the HBO Boys. Today we're talking about series one of Dune Prophecy, episode 5 in Blood / comma Truth, and episode 6, The High-Handed Enemy. We're wrapping up Dune Prophecy. We've done it. We finally made it through trials, tribulations, times in which we didn't record the podcast by accident. Hey. That we're now here, but we're now here and we're going to talk about dust or whatever.
Yeah, my bad. You wasted 40 minutes of your life last week, and it was 100% my fault.
No, the immediate first thing I said was like, yo, you've been in the podcast game this long? We've all done it. We've all gotten to the end of 80,000 minutes and been like, I have terrible news, everybody.
Yeah, we need to do this all again, and you need to come up with new content.
Here's some context, right? We've been really up and down on this show as a duo. Mm-hmm. Me a bit more than you. You've been seeing the bright, sunny side of life a little more than I have, which I've been striving to do. But, you know, the criticisms that we've lobbed at this show at this point are that the past timeline is more interesting than the present timeline.
Yes.
Every time we see a young Tula or a young Valya, their actors are doing an amazing job. Every time we see the beginning-ish of the Sisterhood, where Raquella gets murdered, and then, as it turns out, a mass grave full of other sisters get murdered by Valya. And everyone's like, what are you doing? And Valya's like, I don't know. It's for the better of the realm, I guess. And... right. So that time, interesting. And then we go forward and I don't know, it feels rushed or slow.
Sure.
And then it feels miscast. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think the main character was miscast, if I'm being
really
completely. Yeah, I think Emily Watson's an amazing actor and I loved her in Chernobyl, but I think it should have been somebody else. But
yeah,
that's fine. The person who played Tula, both actors who played Tula, absolutely incredible. And the actual problem, the main problem I have with the show is that Desmond Hart sucks.
Yeah, he sucks, and you're not a fan of the actor of him anyway, so you already got a bad taste in your mouth. I don't really know him that much, so I just think the character's weird and, like, I don't know. It's just kind of boring. He's boring.
In episode 5, he's given the reins to the kingdom, basically. They give him a bunch of soldiers to start rounding up rebels. At the same time, an old flame, who happens to be a sister, and also Javi Ko's bastard's mother, shows up at the same time. And here's the thing. When new characters show up 66% into the show, it always bounces off me a little bit. Like... because we're covering both episodes, I'm going to jump forward here all the way to the end as well, because it also feels like this is the first season of a show. It feels like this is an anthology series.
Sure.
And the next season can be whatever, but it's obvious that we're going to stay in this world 10,000 years ago and figure out who's using the thinking machines that all should be dead. And we finally get to Arrakis at the end of it. But the point of that is, all of that is, if it's an anthology show that's going to keep going, then they're allowed to just throw new characters in 66% of the way through, because it's not just one season of television.
Right.
Is the second season going to be Dune Prophecy, but different and again? Or is the second season or going to not be the second season at all and just be a different show? That's unclear. And it's in the wake of, we also don't know when we're getting Dune 3. It's not even the movie Denis Villeneuve is making right now.
What is the movie he's making right now?
It's...
Do you even know?
Yeah.
I didn't even know he was. I thought he was just doing Dune.
No, he's adapting another film prior to Dune. And that's, I don't even know if it's filming as of yet. But like, it's on the heels of also like... You know, Chris Nolan had a huge announcement last week.
Right.
All these gigantic directors are doing gigantic projects. And Denis is sadly like in a kind of a place where he's saying he's doing this new thing. And the general vibe is, why? Do the thing we like.
Yeah. Dune Messiah, dude.
Make everybody a worm. Anyway, going back to episode 5. Right. All of the sisters from the present timeline are being pretty weirded out, especially they haven't even like met the new Lila, who's, you know, Raquella or Raquella's mother at any given moment. Tula is using her as a puppet until perhaps Lila takes over the puppetry down the road. But the Lila storyline is also a problem. I think it's just,
everything just seems so chaotic. And I know that's part of the deal here is that there's a lot of stuff going on and a lot of stuff's getting missed and people are compromised and all that good stuff. But like everything, it just is so chaotic to watch and understand and follow. And maybe I'm the minority here, but it's fine. Like if I knew what I was getting myself into, would I watch the show? Probably not.
Lila becomes Dexter from Dexter's Laboratory. She's a scientist now because she's Mercalla's ma, and she's cutting up brains and stuff. And at this point, I'm like, okay, I don't... It's not even that I don't know what's going on, although I don't.
What is it?
It's like, yeah, why are we... Why are we in the lab now? Why is this 4 different shows?
Because we need to make sense of it, Ryan. We need to make sense of the current scenario with the past ancestors and their knowledge of the Force.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah.
Which one's Darth Vader?
I don't know, but midichlorians, am I right?
No. So, Desmond... and again, we're back in episode 5. There's an action set piece. Actually, I think the best part of episode 5,
absolutely,
where he is raiding the bar.
Yes.
And in said bar is Mr. Atreides, who is trying to hide all of the, fact that this is a rebel stronghold. Plus, the barkeep, who we are going to learn very soon, is a sister as well. And Desmond kind of takes down this whole place, except for not really. He goes upstairs, turns on his shield thing, and he's the only one not exploded into pieces as they cover their tracks.
Yeah, that was also another thing. Like, okay, so swords can pierce your little shield generator, but explosions surrounding you does nothing?
Yeah, the logistics of the shield have always sort of bothered me in this world. It feels as though it's sort of something that there are new rules every 5 minutes that they just ask you to accept. And every now and again, especially in that scene where a building explodes, but he lives because of said shield, that if you push a knife hard enough into it, actually just murders you.
Yeah,
that is hard to compute.
And then again in like Dune Part 2 when they're fighting the sand crawler thing with the ornithopters surrounding it, they're firing heavy explosives towards the helicopter and it just pushes through and explodes. But I don't know, man. I don't like it. Have a very clearly defined shield, I suppose.
Michaela goes back to Arrakis. She, I believe it's Michaela, right? I think, I don't know, the barkeep who was the sister, she goes back to Arrakis.
Yes.
And now that we know at the end of episode 6 that we're going to Arrakis, anyway, she's probably going to come back up in the middle of this. Constantine, figures out that Mr. Atreides is the snitch and he gets Mr. Atreides arrested. Constantine will not show up again ever. And he was a character who was barely a person to begin with.
Yeah, right. It was just, I don't know. It feels so chaotic. There's people here that mean something. And then, like, you would think that the bastard son of the, you know, emperor would mean more, but clearly not.
Yeah, and maybe he will more in the future in this weird anthology series.
Yeah, it's possible, yeah.
But either way, the end of episode 5 is a big revelation that Desmond Hart is Tula's long-lost son that she had with the guy at the campsite before, you know, she killed him and his a large portion of his family. And then she also finds out, like, oh, he's the like symbiotic version of two bloodlines and he's important. And oh, my God. And he's alive. And oh, that's going to be complicated emotionally.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But that episode where she goes into the camp of the Atreides, that was the best episode of the show.
Yes, it was. That was the best episode. That was the best scene. That was the best acting.
Yeah, absolutely.
We head into episode 6, where we are going back and forth once more between the present and the past timeline. Tula is verklempt, right? She just found out that her son's alive. And now she's trying to do everything in her power to figure out what's going on. And in that vein, she puts another lady. Okay. Do you know what's happening here more than I do? Because she puts another lady in the not thinking, but the, it literally looks like the Venom symbiote. And this lady's like, put me under. I shall see.
Yeah. She's like, I have the medical prowess to take this. And, okay. Well, all right. And, we find out that the machine virus it feeds off people's fears because she was afraid the whole time, and that's why she didn't make it out of there.
Well, yeah, she got burned alive.
Yes.
Unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Atreides is questioned by Desmond Hart. You know what the end of that is, okay? Mr. Yes. Atreides is going to be like, I'm a rebel, and I'm not going to tell you anything.
Yeah, right.
And Desmond Hart's going to be like, you fool.
And, like, the torturing of him, too, is really lame as well. Like, they were just, they had him floating, and they were just pushing him to the wall. Like, I don't know, man. It was boring.
Then Empress Intalia has Princess Yanez arrested as a co-conspirator, which she sort of was, to be fair. I don't know how much. Knowingly a little bit. And then so she's arrested, right? She's in suspension along with Mr. Atreides. Then the world crumbles for our emperor, Mr. Strong, Mark Strong, the emperor, and Emperor Hafiko. He's lost grip of the whole thing. And the beginning of the end for him is his old fling coming back. Obviously, she's being used to manipulate him, but also she still loves him and he still loves her. So it's complicated.
Always is.
It always is in that situation of which I've been in many times.
No firsthand.
It is at this point where Valia's like, okay, Theodosia, you're about to be Princess Yanez. You probably figure that out. We then go back into the past where Tula and Valia are looking at the 23andMe and figuring out what needs to happen in the future. This then ports forward to Tula realizing once more and then kind of processing that Desmond Hart is her baby. And also he's now sort of a weapon. But like, how'd that happen?
Yeah. After watching this show, it's so boring and there's so much meaningless talk and so little action. I just, you know, I it was hard for me to keep paying attention to the scenes that were slow, you know, like, I don't know, man. Like, I kind of, there was points of time that I lost. This episode was also an hour and 22 minutes long. So yeah, kill me.
Right. We are now 50 minutes into episode 6, the finale of the first season, and some actual good stuff happens here. Emperor Haviko is again losing all grip on reality, and he's realizing that he has no power whatsoever. And that is reinforced by Valia telling him that to his face.
Yeah.
Simultaneously, back in Sisterhood World, Lila, but you know, Lila of the ancestors, opens up a big hole, and the hole goes deeper than you thought, and oh, it's a mass grave. Oopsie doodles.
Yeah, we were covering that up for 30 years with the weird water of the voice that trembles. It's trembly, right? Water, you know.
What we thought is that when Valia killed Raquella way back when, it was a secret and nobody knew. Turns out everybody knew, and the way that you keep it a secret is by murdering most of them.
Except for one.
Right. Avila, who still alive. Crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy that she's still alive even in the modern timeline, because, or the current timeline, because she was like kind of sticking her nose into a lot of stuff. Like, you'd think they'd offer much quicker.
I assume so.
Yeah.
I sort of hope so.
Yeah, you called it out a few times. You're like, yeah, well, she's going to die, right? She's going to be dead next episode.
Shoulda.
Yeah.
Princess Ynez is now Theodosia. Theodosia is now Princess Ynez. There are now two of them. The Valia breaks out Mr. Atreides and Prime Ynez, while Theodosia and Ynez is doing her own little side quest. Desmond Hart gets there a little bit too late, at which point it is made clear to the Emperor that there is a plot to poison him, but his lover can't for the life of her do the thing that she's supposed to do, which Valia wants her to do, which again is murder her.
Yeah.
I mean him.
Yeah, I got you.
So as Francesca tells Mark Strong about Valia's plan, he comes up with a winning rebuttal, which is, you guys can tell me what to do. You guys can tell me I'm a puppet. Mm. I've never been my own man. I truly have never had an original thought. Well, take this. I'm going to stab myself. Ha ha.
Joke's on you.
Joke is not on you.
The joke is still on me.
He stabbed himself. That's so stupid.
The joke is still on me. Yeah.
And then the Empress takes the Valia cyanide needle and kills Francesca as well. So it looks like it was sort of like a murder-suicide kind of dealy.
Yeah. How did she know that needle had the cyanide on it? Like, that was the first thing that I thought of. I was like, how did she know that it was a death needle?
I don't know. Maybe perhaps she just was like, this is sharp. Shove it into his jugular. See how it goes.
Yeah.
Or her jugular, I suppose.
Yeah.
Oh, and it just so happened to have
instant cyanide on it.
Right. That's just, oh, cool. Easy, easy day, easy life.
Yeah. Well, that was easier than I thought it was going to be.
Lila has then now taken over sort of the sisterhood. And by taking over, we mean that we're going to show everybody the hole with all the deads in it.
The deads.
We then go back in time with Tula reckoning with the idea of getting rid of her baby and not keeping it.
Mm.
And she seems to hand Desmond Hart to a young Francesca, who then takes that baby away to the unknown. But not so much. We know what's about to happen. Although there's a lot of details in the middle of Desmond Hart's life that are unclear.
Sure.
And if he was a more interesting character played by an actor who I could stand to look at more, I would care about what that middle part was, but I don't.
It's funny that the fate of the character of a show is completely hinged on your likability of the actor.
That's what all of Hollywood is, right? It's like,
yeah, you hate Hawkeye and don't care about anything Hawkeye. Even though he's like a pretty good superhero,
right?
You just hate Jeremy Renner.
Jeremy Renner sucks, but listen, Hawkeye is really good in Marvel Rivals. You have to ban him every time.
He is good.
He keeps shooting me in the head.
I hate it. It's nuts.
We are escaping. We're escaping the Emperor's domain and getting out. But before we do, Desmond and Valia have one last showdown. Valia says, you've seen my end, show me, bitch. And Desmond's just like, all right, yeah, I mean, I'll burn you alive. but take this into account. He's been stabbed pretty hard.
Yes.
And so he's not doing well.
No. And he's like convulsing, but still able to pull off a Bernie maneuver.
Right. And show her her worst fear, which apparently is not helping Griffin. The first time in which she uses the voice, perhaps invents the voice.
Yep.
And this, as the story goes, saves Griffin. Her worst fear is, I think, more so just like a lack of control.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely. And she needs to be in control. She's comfortable being in control. And she's terrified of not. But, you know, go with it, Tula says. Go with the fear. Embrace the fear and you'll get past this machine bombardment. And she, in fact, does that.
Right. Tula's here now, right? Like, Tula wasn't here before.
No.
She's here now.
She finds them both on the ground in bad condition, pretty bloodied.
They look into some sort of, like, future together, right? Where Valya is coming to terms with her fears.
Yep.
And then simultaneously we port to Arrakis, where the little thumpers are going off and Shahid al-Ulub, the big gosh dang worm, is coming.
Yes.
And then we see the eyes of the robot. What are this? What's this robot? Who's making these robots do the thing? That is perhaps the question for the next
series. It's a cloaked being of some sort. Cloaked humanoid. We don't know what it is, who it is. Maybe you can guess if you're fans and know more than I do. But yeah, it's interesting that people, you know, they've banned thinking machines now. We've seen them six or seven times already.
You know? Maybe the Fremen.
It could be the Fremen. Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, their vibe, right? Might just be like, I mean, you left it. Our home is the desert. Y'all fought the thinking machines. You just didn't even know how to use them.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they're the ones who are, you know, beneath the sands, taming the worm gods and walking like chickens on the sand and have total control of the machines. They walk like chickens on the sand because they have to, like, do the weird walk, the Fremen.
I see. Step. Chickens on the sand.
Yeah, they're, like, you know, all over the place.
Sounds like a Steely Dan album title.
Chickens of the Sand.
Valya's like, let me kill your son. And Tula's like, no. And Valya's like, let me end it now. And Tula's like, no, he's my son.
Can't do it. Can't do it, sis.
The decision is yours and yours alone, Valya says to Tula, at which point Tula's like, I'm not going to do it.
You won two pendants in the Temple Games. Who's going first?
Exactly. That was my exact reference. That's what I was doing. It was pretty sick.
Yeah, I liked it.
Anyway, she kills him with kindness and gives him a cool hug.
Yeah, before getting arrested. And they arrested several people in this episode. And it's like, arrest them as if they can't control you with their voices. Like, what?
Right. Anyway, the way we end the season and the episode is with Valya and Princess Kinez and Mr. Atreides getting off a ship on Arrakis.
Yep. We're seeing sand.
Valya looks at Princess Kinez and says, Arrakis, come, princess. The path to our enemy begins here.
Hard cut.
Which, hard cut, is a bad way to end a season of television.
Yeah.
On just like a huge cliffhanger with no known consequence, like no known, like we don't know.
Yeah, like what's keeping me there? We know what's gonna happen in 10,000 years, you know, like what's keeping me watching? Like we know kind of what happens. The Harkins take over Arrakis
eventually. 10,000 years is so long from now. So many things probably happen in the middle of it,
I'm sure. And I'm sure some of it's compelling. Yeah. But do I care enough to wait 2 years for another season? I don't really care.
Here's what's up. If somebody asked me if they should watch this show, I would be like, do you love Dune? And they'd be like, yes. I'm like, then maybe. And if if the answer was kind of or no, then definitely not.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I just think it was a weird opportunity missed. I think there were a lot of cool parts. And I'm saying this to perhaps placate part of the audience that liked the show and don't want us to just badmouth it the entire time, which I want to keep that part of the audience here and listening. So right. I'm saying that. But I will also, like, you know, on the outskirts mention that this show had too many characters that didn't matter. They had too many characters that were coming in and out weirdly at the end when like things should have been wrapping up. It just didn't feel like a contained story in the slightest. It felt like a hodgepodge. It felt like throwing characters and plot points onto a wall, to a wall.
Yeah.
Seeing what stuck.
Yeah, this show has the same problem that like a lot of shows I've seen in over the past couple years have. They look amazing. The sound effects, the sounds, the music is amazing. But there's no story. There's no script that's compelling.
There's no soul.
Don't care. Yeah, it feels soulless.
Just money.
It is.
Right? Like, with an amount of money, you can make anything look and sound amazing.
Of course.
You can hire people to write music that's incredible. You can hire CGI artists who are great at their jobs. You can hire actors who are amazing at their jobs. Highly paid actors. Highly paid everything. Directors. Writers, even. The problem is that, I mean, I personally haven't read any of the prequels, any of the prequel books. I know that people do enjoy them.
Yeah.
But like, if you wanted to get into this story 10,000 years prior, maybe you should have just done Machine Wars and then gotten into this, right?
Oh,
like, how is this not the second season of the anthology?
I freaking know. I want to see that machine. That first scene of the show was like, oh, here we go. And then immediately, oh, it's over already. But I'd be curious to hear what people anyone who's read the prequels anyone that knows the buildup that this show is mocking. Is it good? is this what it is, or is this severely lacking?
I think it's the second thing. I think it's good, not great.
Sure.
And you cannot be a Dune IP and be good.
Yeah. It's just so painfully slow, man. Like, it's everything takes, 10 minutes of exposition or dialogue or whatever it is just to explain what's going to happen. And then it just, I don't know. And it was only 6 episodes. Like, they could, I felt a lot was rushed. And I don't know if I'm right in thinking that. I think I am.
No. That's exactly it. Things aren't allowed to be rushed and boring at the same time.
Oh my God. Yeah. It was rushed and boring. Like, what's up with that?
How does that happen?
I don't even know.
And I know that there's a sect of human beings watching this who are just like, no, you guys don't understand, okay? Dune isn't supposed to be action-packed. Dune isn't supposed to be action set piece after action set piece. It's supposed to be a drama. It's supposed to be complicated. It's supposed to be about the economic and governmental and like all the, it's supposed to be politics. It's supposed to be people put in stellarly complicated situations and finding their way out of it and power struggles. And it's about classism and it's about populism and fascism. And it's about all of these things. And when they all come together in a place where they have like one specific MacGuffin that fuels the entire world, that being dust from Arrakis, it makes it a lot more quote unquote interesting and also not quote unquote, but complicated for sure. That's all fine.
Sure.
But you made a show that didn't show most of that.
Yeah. I was about to say, I like the council scenes in like House of Dragon more.
Yeah, they're the best ones.
Than this. And I'm not even a fan of that style of stuff for a TV
Here's a
show
question.
Like this. You know?
Who is your favorite character in Dune Prophecy?
The younger versions of Valya and Tula.
Who is your favorite character in House of the Dragon?
Freaking, I mean, I like Damon.
Okay.
I also like, oh God, their names escape me right now, but Rhaenyra. Thank you.
Right. The two, like two, one side character, like,
yes,
like, but secondary character and one main character, right?
Sure.
Notice how like your answers weren't the adult versions of Valya and Tula Harkonnen, the main characters of the show.
Right. And it was the younger version who we saw significantly less of, which is such a bummer, man. Such a bummer.
My favorite character in this show was Empress Natalia.
She was good too.
She was great. She had motivation that I could relate to. She was like, it was just very clear why she was doing what she was doing at any given moment, and she was making moves, and everything she did made a lot of sense. And that is, I can't say that for most of the characters. I think Valya and Tula left something to be desired, especially in the future, because they were split up, and like when they're together at the beginning of the show, I think it was good, but split up, I don't think their characters hold up that much. Valya more than Tula, because Valya is the main character, but
yeah.
And then the whole Sister Lila thing, could have done without. Boring, weird.
Boring. The Acolyte stuff, some of that stuff was okay. It kind of redeemed itself toward the end, but yeah, a lot of it in the beginning was just, it felt like filler. It just felt like wasting time.
Princess Yanez, not fully formed, not a full character.
She could have been so much better. It could have been so much better.
Kieran Atreides barely should have been on the page, let alone a character. Like, for the guy with the last name Atreides, if you're going to put him or that name into a show, make him interesting at all. He was not.
Yeah, yeah.
Emperor Hadiko, pretty good. I really like Mark Strong's performance in this. I think his story is like a beautiful tragedy.
Yes.
And a high mark of this show. The Harkonnen storyline, all of the periphery Harkonnens, Mark Addy as old man in chair, and Haro Harkonnen, and everyone who's not Tula and Valya, who have their own issues, as we previously discussed, didn't have to be there at all. The past sisters, right? Like Dorothea, Raquella, even in flashbacks, you know what they want, you know what they believe,
sure,
but they don't make you care, in my opinion. Constantine, we already talked about, not interesting. Griffin has a hard cut death, which was still the funniest thing that's happened in the show.
This would be a comedy if if that was the only thing in it.
Sister Francesca comes in episode 5, dies episode 6.
Yeah.
Michaela there the whole time, pretty good heel, not even heel turn, just good turn overall. Sure. Her thing was like surprising and fun. And then that's the end of the characters. There are some more like level 3, level 4 characters, none of which were interesting, none of which are memorable.
Yeah, they just wasted key like actors, you know, like it's just it's like the actors signed on because it was a Dune IP and that was massively successful without even like really vetting out what they were doing. It just, I don't know. It just, I'm unfulfilled. I wish we got another episode at least to tell us about the Arrakis stuff. Like when it starts to get interesting, it's over.
By the way, next week, or not even next week, short week because of the Christmas holiday.
Yes.
This Sunday, they're just showing all of Dune Prophecy in a row and then Jupiter Ascending, which is very funny. Oof. on the main channel. And then on the main HBO, right?
Yeah.
So and then next week, next Sunday, the 5th, they're doing a you can watch the entire season of The Last of Us and then Scott Pilgrim versus the World at 8 p.m. on Sunday nights. And then the next Sunday is movies again, right? It's Jason Bourne. It's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Okay. Still not a new show. And that is what we have. Until the middle of January, we don't have a new show.
When does Severance come out?
Comes out on February 18th, and that is a Apple Plus show.
Yes.
Which, by the way, the Apple Plus show running right now, there are a few, but like Silo just got another season. But the one that's running right now, it's kind of flagship show, is Shrinking, which is great.
Oh, it's so good. I finished it. Oh, God, that show is good. When I first watched season one, I didn't know what to expect. I saw a little bit of advertising for it, but I just kind of watched it on a whim. And man, is it good. And the addition of Brett Goldstein into the show, excellent, heartbreaking, amazing. God, that show was just, it hits you, man. That's a good one.
Yeah, it was a good show. That's also the issue here. Like, it's running up against Dune Prophecy, that is, other television shows, other flagship television shows that are just strictly better.
Yeah. I mean, it's a completely different subject matter too, so it appeals to a hell of a bigger audience, but still, it's they're just more well done, I think. Like, maybe visually, obviously Dune Prophecy takes that, but you know, it's the feel goodness and just the overall like completeness you feel at the end of an episode or the end of the series is so much better over there. It's such a bummer for Dune.
And for HBO, because we probably won't be back to HBO for a little while now. The next flagship show coming out in on January 14th for HBO is True Detective Night Country.
They're still going with those? I didn't even know that. Going, I didn't even know.
Still, yeah. They're still going with True Detective. Wow. They still got Jodie Foster. And I'm down. I'm not going to watch it. I don't watch True Detective.
Yeah, I watched the first season.
Of course, as did everybody, because it was amazing. Right.
But White Lotus. Track. White Lotus is coming out February 16th.
Right. I mean, White Lotus, Righteous Gemstones, yes. The Last of Us, yes. And Peacemaker in 2025. Obviously, all four of those we will be talking about. The White Lotus we'll be talking about for sure, Last of Us and Peacemaker. Yep. Probably not Righteous Gemstones, although I love that show.
No, but I
will be watching it.
Yeah, it's worth at least one retrospective episode. That show is so good. I'm going to rewatch the season. It's so good.
But honestly, we're just going to sit around here and wait for February 18th and wait for Severance Season 2. Yeah. I think it's the best show on television right now. Yep. And if it lives up to 80% of Season 1, it will continue to be that way.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one. I'm going to rewatch the last half of season one to refamiliarize myself. But I think I got it in my head still. It's I benefited from taking so long to watch it that it's still fresh in my mind.
And that's it.
That's it. And
that's Dune. Yay.
That's Dune. Yay. And season two potentially couldn't come any slower. But yeah, I mean, maybe these filler weeks will have some top fives if you want to do something like that, Ryan. Anything, you know, cross your mind for that? I'd be willing to do that for the people that care. And
oh yeah, next few weeks are going to be list based. That's for sure.
Yeah, and honestly, if it because not every show is like something that I really care to talk about. Like this show, I just got bored of it. But top five,
by the
lists,
way,
I'm always there to talk about.
They got picked up for a season two.
Yeah, that's what I read. Yeah, I read that there was a potential season two. Yeah, crazy.
Probably
will
20,
that be
26?
Six episodes too?
Yeah, no, it might come out simultaneously or near. When Dune 3 drops, which is forever from now.
Ugh. I mean, I'm excited for Dune 3, but yeah, this show, I really don't care.
Yeah, no, I don't. Unless, I mean, it depends on the trailer, I guess, and if you like lean into Machine War stuff. But like, if you're going to do Machine Wars in a flashback with Dune Prophecy, then like, ugh.
Yeah, it's just all over the place, man.
Well, this was a bummer. Do the end of the show.
It was a bummer. Well, if you'd like to subscribe to our Patreon and get all of these episodes ad-free and early, subscribe to us at patreon.com/HBOBOIZ. For one or more dollars a month, you can get all this stuff that I just said and your name read out at the end of the episode. So we'd like to thank our current patrons. Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, Howdy Dream Cowboys, Chris Wood, Brent Ginn, Craig John Jewers, Major Woody, Butter Nichols, Buffalo Pizzle, C. Fritz, and Cosmic Starfish number one. And thank you, Brent Ginn, for being our $5 a month tier patron. We appreciate you. We appreciate all of you. Christmas was yesterday, so Merry Christmas, Ryan. And
hey, thanks.
And I didn't wrap your gifts this year, so that was a bummer, and I missed out on that. And because that's like
what he's
tradition.
Talking about is that usually I have Adam wrap my gifts, because every time I try to wrap something, no matter how many YouTube videos I watch, I rip it and throw it.
But that was like a thing that we did for a lot of years in a row, and this was the first year I didn't do it, and that's a bummer. So next year we'll have to re-up on that. Anyway,
100%. Wow, sad.
Yeah. Follow us on our socials at the HBO Boys Pod or at the HBO Boys Podcast, Threads, Blue Sky, Instagram, TikTok. I'm on all of them. Like, comment, subscribe, and I will do the same for you. Any last thoughts before we leave the people?
Thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening to this. I really appreciate it. Even though I didn't like the show, I like chilling with my boy Adam and, sure. and talking about TV. So, and Merry Christmas to everybody. I hope everybody's was freaking dope, dude.
Yeah.
And everybody got the sickest presents. And,
yeah. So many presents.
So many presents, because that's what Christmas is about. And,
it's exactly what Christmas is about.
It's about commercialism. It's about capitalism. So it's like pretty sweet. And I hope the capitalism really worked out for you this Christmas. And other than that, 2025.
Yeah.
The year where the HBO boys really takes off.
Oh, yeah. That's what we said last year. Anyway, have a lovely holiday season. We'll talk to you next time.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.